Good morning and welcome to Focus on Health, the weekly radio program where we talk about all the great things happening at Van Deest Medical Center. I am your host, Lori Foster. Joining us for today's program, we are going to hear from our skilled care team at Van Deest Medical Center. Before we do, I have a few announcements to share. Van Deest Medical Center, in partnership with other area providers, is conducting a community health needs assessment for Hamilton County. So we need your help. We are seeking input from community members regarding the health care needs in Hamilton County to complete this assessment. The goal is to understand progress in addressing community health needs cited in previous community health needs assessments, which were done in 2014 and 2019, and we want to collect up-to-date community health perceptions and ideas. Again, your feedback and suggestions regarding current community health delivery are especially important to complete this report. There is a short online survey, and it is available for community members to take. We encourage you to visit our website at vandeestmc.org, or the survey is available on our Facebook page. All community residents are encouraged to complete the online survey. The deadline is August 4th. I do want to mention that all responses are confidential. If you have any questions about the community health needs assessment or the survey, you can contact Carrie at 515-832-7702. And I do want to thank you in advance for your time and participation. I also want to share with our listeners, we have a retirement party coming up. We hope that you will join us. One of our team members, Wally Ubbin, who is a registered nurse in our Med-Surg department, is going to be retiring. He has worked at the hospital for nearly 10 years, and we are going to have a retirement party next Tuesday, July 29th. It's from 1 to 2:30 in the afternoon in our hospital conference room. Join us as we congratulate Wally on his upcoming retirement. Again, congratulations to Wally. Please join us Tuesday, July 29th from 1 to 2:30. And lastly, I have mentioned on previous programs, we have our 10th annual Van Deest Medical Center Foundation golf outing coming up Friday, September 26th. This is a four-person best shot. It is going to start at 12 o'clock noon, and we're going to have it at the Links this year. There are plenty of opportunities for sponsorships. We have registrations coming in almost daily, so you're going to want to get your team signed up. I do want to mention sponsorship confirmation must be received by Friday, September 12th to be included in program promotion. Also this year, following the golf outing, we do have live entertainment. This will be open to the public. It will be from 5 to 7 out at the Links. We certainly hope you will be able to join us for golf, for the live entertainment, possibly for both. All the information and registration materials can be found online. Again, go to our webpage at vandeestmc.org. And proceeds from the golf outing will support patient care needs at the hospital. And with that, we are ready to start into our program today. As I mentioned, we're going to be talking about the skilled care program at Van Deest Medical Center, what it is, who possibly needs it, and how a multidisciplinary team helps patients recover. So very excited to have joining us today, Jade Williams, who is adult gerontologist, nurse practitioner, who oversees the program. We have Shelby Noakes, who is our social worker, and Kevin Boltina, who is a physical therapist with 21st Century Rehab. Good morning to all of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining me on the program today. Great time to be talking about our skilled care program and letting listeners know kind of what all that involves and entails. I think a great place to start would be, Jade, if you want to maybe Explain what skilled care is and how it differs from other types of care that we provide in our hospital.
Well, skilled care is unique in that here at our facility or hospital, you get to remain in your same hospital room that you were previously already in for your acute care needs. And then during that time, you're evaluated. Usually you skill for things such as like physical therapy and occupational therapy. Maybe you need some long-term IV antibiotics or other types of IV medications that need to be administered and would make it difficult for you to maybe return to your home or community, long-term community, and need just that additional nursing service. So while you reside in the swing bed, essentially, you still get to have your medical needs overseen by a provider, myself, or the hospitalist, depending on, you know, what the schedule looks like for that week. And then, of course, you get the additional services of the team. So you have pharmacy, nursing, therapy services, social work, case management, nutrition. I'm sure I'm leaving somebody out in that, but we have a pretty robust team. So,
Kevin, it's a terrific team.
Yes. Kevin, do you have anything
else? You know, I think what we would tend to look at is especially people that, you know, come into the hospital for a medical need, but that medical need has been addressed. But for some of those reasons, they may need more services before they're able to safely return home. And that's where the skilled team can intervene is to try and bridge that gap between, you know, the medical problem, you know, being handled and managed, but yet not ready to transition back into their prior living arrangement. And so we can provide those services to make that happen.
Right. I think, like you mentioned, Kevin, it is kind of bridging that where they're just needing a little additional assistance and help before returning to wherever home might be for them. So providing those services. At what point is a patient identified as needing skilled care?
You know, we'll often be involved right from the start. Sometimes as soon as the day of their admission or in the day or two following that admission, we're starting to identify those people that we think would be appropriate for the program so we can start getting authorizations, talking to the family, talking to the patients, you know, about what that service may look like and what maybe some of the goals or some of the hardships that get there. So really it's starting to be planned for oftentimes early on in the admission process.
Well, so we also get referrals from outside facilities and hospitals, ranging anywhere from the University of Iowa, Mercy, Maine, you know, anywhere, essentially any hospital can send in a referral to our team, and that's where Shelby and Maureen really take in oversight, and they'll review the cases initially for us and then disperse it to the team, providing a summary and then also any of the necessary chart review that we would need to take a look at. And then that's really when the team, each one of us, is provided with the information, and then we review it and we all kind of discuss if they would meet our program and if we're able to also meet their needs. You know, it's kind of a combination of situations just to make sure that we're able to provide the care that the patient needs, and then also make sure that we're able to start even thinking about at that time what would a safe discharge plan look like for that patient once they come here. You know, we do get people who don't necessarily live in our community, mm-hmm. and so that has to be part of the conversation before they come here. You know, what would that look like, or what's kind of the end goal for that patient and their families. But Shelby, what else do you have about that?
Just that Maureen and I talk to the families and provide options to the patients and them as well. They get to choose if they want to stay here or go somewhere else for skilled care. After they are skilled, there's some simple paperwork that we do here, and we schedule a care conference from there.
Yep, so the team and I, we have a care conference with the patient, and typically their family, if they would like for them to be included. Sometimes it's just a patient, other times it's a room full, and we're there to answer questions, kind of review how the last week went for the patient, and then start having a conversation. What is a discharge going to look like? What is the team seeing? What's our recommendations? It's a great opportunity for therapy at that time to talk about assistive devices that they might need to start thinking about in the home. And so a lot of planning takes place in those meetings, and we really try to make sure that we're answering and giving them all the tools that they would need so that it's successful when they discharge home or to wherever that home may be.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's so important to involve the care team, the patient, of course, also family members. So everybody is on the same page of how the patient is progressing, what this looks like, what the needs may be following that discharge. So I think that is a key piece that you mentioned, Jade. And I appreciate you sharing too that, you know, quite often it's patients coming from out of town, from other facilities to get skilled care. You know, a lot of times when we're doing these radio programs, it's about putting the awareness out there that, you know, services, different types of care are available right here in Webster City. Mm-hmm. And until somebody needs this type of service, they're maybe not even aware that we provide it. But I do know from talking with patients, visiting with them, that maybe they've been at a different hospital for some type of procedure or a surgery, mm-hmm. and had options of where they could get some skilled care. They knew they needed skilled care, and were thrilled to find out that we offer skilled care right here at Van Deese Medical Center. So again, it's just one more way to get the information out to our listeners that we do provide this care here, and we have an awesome team providing this care. So I appreciate you sharing the information. I also want to mention too, Shelby, you mentioned Maureen. Maureen Carver is our case manager, and she is an important part of the skilled care team too. She is not joining us today on the program, but she is a very integral part of, the process and working with the patients throughout their skilled care and their time with us.
I think that's one of the strengths of our program is, you know, we have with the multidisciplinary or the team approach, everybody can bring their own expertise or insights in to help plan for things. Some things that I may not think about, but the occupational therapists will, or the case manager will, or one of the other team members will. So it makes it for a pretty thorough plan that hopefully most concerns are being addressed.
Right. And many minds just contributing, like you say, to this one person's care and the best way to achieve the goals that we want to achieve.
Yeah, I think it's also reassuring to the patient and the family when they come, because they get to meet with the team. We're kind of in and out. Therapy is generally their primary service, so they're in, you know, with them on a daily basis, multiple times a day, but then also just to know that any medical needs that arise are going to be addressed, that they have nursing staff there with them as well 24/7, and so it just kind of provides this additional safety net while they're in this transition period.
Mm-hmm. Very good. What are some of the challenges that patients and family face during this time, if it's them or a loved one, a family member that is needing this type of care?
We see a lot of patients that want to keep their independence and struggle to accept the help that they need with either extra family support, in-home care, or transitioning to assisted living or a nursing home. But the biggest challenge we see is the cost of those extra services. Some patients want to go to a higher level of care, but they can't do the cost. And they have to discharge home without the care that they might need, and they will come back into the hospital most of the time shortly after that.
Yeah, it's difficult. Unfortunately, our community, we're limited when it comes to private in-home services for patients. We've been seeing a big trend in the last 5 years where, you know, families and patients really want to stay in their primary home, and that's great, but it requires a lot of assistance if, you know, they're getting to points that they are going to require that. You know, there's a lot of concern at times about if they can be safe in their home, you know, so we have to start asking specific questions. And if, you know, they're not able to know what to do if there was a fire, or could they safely get out of their house if there was a fire, you know, that's usually where the team and I start to get concerned about if it's really a safe option for them. But ultimately it comes down to everybody has a choice and we have to accept that. So then we, like Shelby said, try and assist them with whatever services are available. But a lot of times it comes down to a financial constraint, or that the service might just not be available in the community. And, you know, we have two long-term care facilities or communities locally, which is great, and a couple of assisted livings available as well, and even some independent or, you know, apartments. Mm-hmm. But still, those have limited space, and then it becomes a question of, well, how can we kind of manipulate then what options we do have to allow for you to transition home, with hopefully a goal that that's where you're able to stay.
I think also it's, you know, families are encouraged to be involved. And I think that works both, you know, for family members who may not, you know, live in the area or be able to visit the patient. They get the opportunity to maybe see the patient doing some functional activities and see that there's some struggles there that they may not have been aware of, to open that discussion. Or it works vice versa too, that, you know, they can be amazed at how well, you know, a patient is able to do. So I think it can be a lot of just even awareness, mm-hmm, for family members or caregivers, you know, both as to, you know, how well somebody can be doing, but also some of the struggles they may be having when we're trying to plan for, you know, the discharge.
So true. Kevin, I know that therapy plays a big role in the skilled care for a lot of our patients. Other members of your team are on our inpatient floor, in the rooms working with patients, walking with them in the hallway. Maybe talk a little bit about the role that therapy does play in skilled care.
So what, you know, early on we're looking at what does the patient need to be able to do to be at home safely. And for a lot of times it's, can they get in and out of bed safely by themselves? Can they get in and out of a chair safely by themselves? Can they get dressed? Can they, you know, complete toileting needs? Can they bathe by themselves or with the help that they have available at home? And so therapy tries to identify those shortcomings and then work on it. Mm-hmm. You know, so a lot of times it's functional training. We're putting them in positions to try and improve those things they need to work on. So in a lot of ways, it's functional training. We're gonna find out what deficits there are and how that impacts the ability to return home and then work on them. And I think one thing is, you know, it's skilled level of care at the hospital is it's an active recovery. You know, it's not a, you know, if you want to come to the hospital and rest, mm-hmm, to recover, this may not be the program for you. We're going to want you up. We're going to want you, you know, sitting, working, walking, doing all your own necessary daily activities as you're able and challenging that. And there are times when that's not necessarily what someone's looking for. They want to just rest. Mm-hmm. And that's a challenge. That may not be the program that, you know, we may not be the program you're looking for if that's the style of recovery you want. Because we're going to want you up. We're going to want you walking. We're going to want you getting dressed every day, all of those things. So it's definitely an active recovery. And we, you know, patient participation is a must. And
is key. You're right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I think the patients probably realize that. But you're right. I mean, sometimes it's it's rest that they are looking for, and we obviously do encourage that, but movement is key, and we are identifying those steps that are needed to get them to a discharge and safely get them to transition to wherever their next place, whether home is the next place for them upon discharge. But we're then working on those goals. Once they're identified, we're working on them and being very active, as you mentioned, Kevin. Sometimes patients will need some additional help, some resources. So Shelby, I know you're an important part of that process. How do you help connect patients to community resources or those long-term care options?
So we do have lists of home health agencies and or private care agencies in our area, as well as the assisted living or nursing home, even hospice options. Maureen and I personally make referrals for the patients that are here for skilled care or just acute care to connect them with what they need at discharge and make sure that's all set up prior to discharge. And we also recommend, when you're navigating those things, to look on medicare.gov for the ratings for the assisted livings, nursing homes, or home health agencies. Take tours of those facilities. And Maureen and I are always happy to answer any questions and point you in the right direction if you want to give us a call at any time.
Very yeah. good.
If you want to talk about like five-star treatment, Maureen and Shelby, I mean, it's impressive to me because every hospital has a program where there's case managers, social workers, assistants essentially to help try and help you navigate your medical care and what's going on. But, we leave those care conferences and it's usually they have a to-do list of things and they're doing it in a very short period of time. And they're calling, they're making the referrals, they're doing everything so that when the patient leaves, there's shouldn't be any legwork. They've helped facilitate if people are trying to get other additional services that can require lots of additional paperwork that the families are then having to go and like dig through and find these things, and then they're helping them navigate these applications, and so they're an excellent resource, and they make sure that when the patient leaves they should have all the things that they need, and then they're still available even after they leave. They can give them a call and they'll still help them or figure out what it is that they need to navigate. So it's great. Yeah.
They are a terrific team. And I would say that about the entire team. I know I've even reached out to Shelby and Maureen when patients, family members here in the hospital have some questions. And it goes beyond that. Just like you said, Jade, they are taking care of their needs for when they leave the hospital so that it can be a successful discharge and recovery. And we know healthcare can be very challenging, and so we want to help support the patients and families with any need that they may have once they leave here so that their questions are answered, and they do a great, great job of that. So really, for all of you, tell us, what's the most rewarding part of your role in the skilled care program here at the hospital?
Oh, I think it's clearly just watching people get better, watching them meet their goals, you know, the excitement that maybe they've been in the hospital for a long time and now they finally get to go home. Sometimes it's they just can't wait to get home to see maybe a grandchild or even their pet.
Mm-hmm.
And just the excitement, the anticipation, the grumbling that they have to stay one more day, before they can meet their goals to get out of here. So I think that's the rewarding part, is when you have a role in seeing them achieve their goals and that excitement that they get because they're getting to go home again, or, you know, however the discharge plan may look. But
I'm sure that you see that improvement sometimes on a daily basis, but definitely weekly basis. And quite often the people that are getting skilled care services are with us for a long time, and we didn't even talk about the duration of how long that care can cover, but they can become almost residents of the hospital here and get to know staff members. But once they're progressing and feeling better, and you know they're talking about getting to go home, it's time. And yes, that has to be so rewarding to be able to see and know that you've been a part of that.
Yeah, we've had some cases, you know, they can range anywhere from a couple days if it's IV antibiotics maybe to, well, and even some that have had the requirement for long-term IV antibiotics. So if you have a pretty significant infection that you had been dealing with, you know, sometimes you might need long-term IV antibiotics. And we've also had patients with wounds that we've helped manage that have required not only stretching and educating the staff on the floor of how to manage that, but then working closely with other specialists. So we do get a real diverse population, and it can range really anywhere from a couple days to several months, you know, just really depending on what it is that we're assisting the patient with their need for. So,
and of course, insurance comes into play with that.
Yes. Yeah. And that's probably something that I feel like is a misnomer, or families might not come in understanding completely. It seems a lot of the larger hospitals really kind of drill in that you get 100 days of skilled care, which if you are Medicare, that is true, but it doesn't guarantee that you get to use up those 100 days. And then there's other nuances that actually go with that. And mm-hmm. So sometimes I can feel that kind of causes a little bit of friction, because I pride ourselves, we're open, we're honest, and we're going to be straightforward. We're not trying to withhold any information when it comes to any part of your requirement. You know, if we're talking about your financial perspective, your medical management, or your actual functional need. So we're quite open and honest about those things. And so I feel like sometimes family, that can create a little bit of friction, because they feel like they've never heard this information before, and so they want to know, well, why are you telling me this, but we didn't hear this, you know, when we came from, you know, location X or mm-hmm. or whatever. And you know, we can't speak to the way other teams manage and function and, you know, choose to disseminate information, but you know, we're just trying to tell you that these are the basics, and then from there we, you know, we have to use that. We can't keep somebody here, you know, against their will, and we definitely can't keep them if there's, you know, insurance is dictating, unfortunately. So we do a lot of extra legwork though when it comes to that. We'll do peer-to-peers and other different things to help facilitate that, especially if we feel that the patient needs to stay. So we try not to let insurance drive it completely, but
very good. Well, I want to thank you all for being on the program today. I can't say enough good about our skilled care here at the hospital. Again, it is a multidisciplinary team approach. I do want to thank Jade and Kevin and Shelby, as well as Maureen, being a part of that team. For our listeners out there, if you or a loved one would like more information, has questions about skilled care services, where should we direct them to call?
You can call Maureen or I. My number is 515-832-7717, and Maureen's is 7727. Or our website has some good information about skilled care as well.
Mm-hmm. Great plug there, Shelby. Yes. As she mentioned, a couple phone numbers, 515-832-7717 or 832-7727. Or visit vandeestmc.org, and you can find some information about our skilled care program. Thanks again for being on the show. That will do it for today's edition of Focus on Health, brought to you by Van Deest Medical Center, where our focus is you.